Today I must stay at your house. It's curious, the choice of words our Lord used here as he encountered Zacchaeus. Why did Jesus not say, I'd like to stay at your house, or may I stay at your house? Where are our Lord's manners here? Today I must stay at your house. He's inviting himself over. Imagine how shocking that must have been to Zacchaeus, that the very one he was seeking, that he went to great lengths to see by climbing that sycamore tree, was seeking him first. Zacchaeus, today I must stay at your house. This must of our Lord speaks to a kind of divine necessity, that this was no chance encounter, but that God had ordained this meeting between Jesus and Zacchaeus. And what is the reaction of Zacchaeus now to the Lord finding him and coming to his house? Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. Four times over, he's going to repay the wrongs he has done. This encounter with Christ opened the eyes of Zacchaeus to a kind of debt that he owed. He was lost, but Christ sought him out and saved him. Salvation came to his house. How could he not, in response, give himself lavishly in return to this gift of the Lord? I remember myself feeling a similar way when I realized that Christ was calling me to the priesthood. Like many children, for most of my youth, I went to Mass because Mom and Dad said that's what we do. It was just kind of part of the routine. I'm always grateful that my parents made that a regular part of our family life, even if sometimes it wasn't all that appealing to me as a child. But I reached a point in my life late in high school during my senior year where I started learning more about what the Mass is. And it was a turning point in my life where I began going to Mass not because Mom and Dad said I had to, but because I wanted to. A desire had been stirred within me. And I started very intentionally seeking the Lord. A friend of mine and I would go to adoration from time to time, adoring our Lord, being with him in the Holy Eucharist. And when I started college, I started going sometimes even to daily Mass between my classes when I was able to do so. And what I discovered as I grew in my faith, that while, yes, I was seeking the Lord, he had been seeking me even more all along. There was a divinely ordained encounter between me and Christ. He was desiring, if you will, to stay at my house. And I felt in myself this sense of a profound debt that I owed to the Lord. He had died for me. He had saved me. How could I ever repay that gift of salvation? And in that desire to, at least in some way, repay that debt, I was surprised to find in myself this attraction, being drawn to the priesthood. And little by little, over time, I came to see that for me, the priesthood was a must. I had to give my life to this. Not a must in the sense of being constrained by the Lord against my freedom, but a must in the sense of being invited freely to give myself back to him. As a priest, as an expression of my desire to repay, as Zacchaeus did, four times over what I had been given. That's what a vocation ultimately is. A vocation is meant to be a lavish giving of oneself, a profound desire to respond to the great gift of salvation from the Lord by the gift of our own lives. And when I say this, I mean not just vocations to the priesthood and the consecrated religious life. In those states in life, this complete giving of self is certainly expressed in a profound way through the celibacy of priests and religious, our obedience, the vow of poverty that religious men and women take. But marriage, too, as a vocation, is meant to be lived in this way. This profound giving of oneself lavishly. Marriage is fundamentally not about my own satisfaction, my spouse making me happy. It's a call for spouses to give themselves lavishly in love to one another so as to become a visible, tangible, concrete sign in the world of that love of God. This, by the way, is tied up with why the church invites married couples to practice the virtue of chastity and natural family planning. Because you see, what happens in contraception is that in the intimate relations of spouses, there's less than a total gift because spouses withhold that power of fertility that God has placed in our humanity. And natural family planning is all about that complete, total giving of oneself to one another, living in a very concrete, regular way that vow of openness to life that a couple makes on their wedding day. Their willingness to become cooperators with God in bringing new souls into the world, souls destined to populate the kingdom of heaven. Every vocation is meant to have this totality of the gift of self, the lavish giving of oneself in response to that great gift of the Lord of himself to us, the salvation he's given to us. And so if you're married, the Lord calls you to live your marriage in this spirit. If you're single, the Lord calls you to live your single life in this spirit. If you're widowed, the Lord calls you to live your widowhood in this spirit. If you're religious, the Lord calls you to live your consecrated life in this spirit. Our church is facing difficult times in our day. There's no question of that. And part of this crisis in our church is precisely a crisis of vocations. In a particular way, a crisis of vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. As evidence of that, our parish of more than 4,000 people has a grand total of 0 seminarians and 0 women in religious formation. Certainly it can't be that God is not calling. And sometimes there are various proposals about how we should solve this crisis. We get creative, proposing, for example, well, we should just do away with the requirement of celibacy. That will solve everything. Who knows? Would that help? Perhaps. I have my doubts. For example, you'll find many Protestant churches struggling with the same difficulty, vacant pastorships. The heart of the crisis, as it always is a failure to give ourselves completely to the call to holiness. The failure to be all in for the Lord, to give everything 4 times over to him. The heart of resolving the crisis in which we find ourselves is coming to this realization of Zacchaeus: my life is not my own. I owe everything to the one who has purchased my life with his blood. How can I not make in response a lavish gift of myself in whatever vocation he is calling me to? if we foster that spirit in ourselves, if we foster that spirit as a church, there's no doubt that everything will be resolved, because we will be living fully our lives in accord with the Lord and His will. There's a tradition when a man is ordained a priest. Part of the ordination rite is his hands are anointed with the sacred chrism, the hands of the priest that will consecrate the Eucharist and absolve sins and bless. And right after that, the priest wipes his hands. He cleanses his hands with a special cloth called the maniturgium. Everything we use in the liturgy has a special Latin name to it. The maniturgium is this cloth that the priest uses to wipe the chrism from his hands. And then after his ordination, he presents that cloth to his mother. And the tradition is that the woman then is buried. When the Lord calls her home, she's buried with this cloth, so that when she appears before the judgment seat of God, and He says to her, "What have you done for me?" she can present that cloth to Him and say, "Lord, I gave you my son to be your priest." That speaks so beautifully, parents, doesn't it? To your call to give yourselves 100% to our Lord. To be willing even to encourage your children to be open to whatever vocation it is the Lord is calling them to. To not exclude any possibility for their lives. Young people, here in church today, are you open? Are you willing to give yourself back to the Lord however He calls you? I hope your answer is yes. Because while no vocation lived fully is easy, ask your parents that, every vocation lived fully is deeply satisfying, life-giving, joyful, the source of deep, profound meaning and purpose in life. Today, our Lord renews His total gift of Himself to us in this Holy Eucharist. Let's give ourselves back to Him lavishly here, as Zacchaeus did. Today, the Lord says to you, "I must stay in your house." Will you welcome Him in? Make Him welcome in your soul and offer in return the whole of your life back to Him in love. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.